Cross your T's and dot your I's, but make sure you capitalize those X's. We're talking Season 1, Episode 7, Extreme Measures on the Gifted After Show here today. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm in love with it.
This show.
Intoxicated.
So good.
With this show.
So good. I'm in
watching the show. Guys, welcome to the after show for The Gifted here on AfterBuzz TV. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, look for the show, give us 5 stars, leave us a comment. If you haven't already, also check out our previous episodes, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV and subscribe to AfterBuzz TV Sci-Fi, which is where you can catch all the shows with like heroes and all that kind of stuff, like cool comic books kind of stuff. I'm your host today, Stephen Lemieux. You can find me on Twitter at STPHNLEMIU capital X. And I am joined today, Rick Hong is absent this week because he is spending a fantastic week with his family doing Thanksgiving shenanigans.
Yes.
But luckily, we still have the A-team, two-thirds of the rest of the A-team. We got Steph Sabra.
What's up, everyone? I'm Steph Sabra. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
And Michael Young.
And you can find me at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
So how many decades from now are you changing your Twitter handle to Michael Old?
You know what? Gosh. I might do Old Youngster.
Old Youngster, that's
ooh,
pretty
I
sick.
Like that.
Now what? Somebody's already taken
Somebody's already taken it. They got it. Yeah. They got it. They're gonna hold you for ransom for that.
I like that.
And then I'll pass my Twitter off to my son.
There you go.
He'll inherit all of like
he'll be young oldster.
So new generation.
Dad,
I'm
you
gonna
use
pass
way
my
too
Twitter
many gifts.
Off.
Not to get off track right at the beginning, I'm sorry, but we're going to be breaking down. This episode had a lot of character development, had a lot of information. It wasn't so much about the action. It was more about, like, kind of grounding the characters again. Unfortunately, grounding Kate and Reed back with their previous selves, it's kind of getting a little bit old
mundane,
at this point.
Yeah.
But we have a storyline with Lauren and Wes. We got Reed and Wes. We got the Wes conclusion. We're going to go into the Marcos mission, how he convinced Polaris to leave, and then how she finds out, and then how they confront him. And then we have Clarice and John. Luckily, we got Clarice back, so that's going to be a good thing to talk about. And then at the Fortress of Sentinelitude, we have Jace doing some skeevy, sketchy stuff.
Is
Jace really doing the sketchy stuff, or is he kind of like now wrapped up in it unwillingly, sort of?
No, he has no backbone and he's a part of the problem.
It's like he knows it's wrong at this point, but again, like, he's reliving his daughter's death. Like, it's fresh in his mind.
PTSD.
Yeah, so
he needs to go home.
Should probably.
And for the
go
doctor
home
to call his daughter's name out like that, it's like,
yeah,
he should have checked him on that. I'm like,
that doctor is,
don't ever say,
don't you think this is what she would want?
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Cool. So we're going to start with the West storyline because we get introduced to the powers of seduction character last time.
Powers of seduction.
He's got the power of image manipulation, as they say, on his criminal record, which we find out about today.
Yes.
So Wes has a criminal record for stealing from a jewelry store and using image manipulation to cover the cameras or whatever we assume he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, this is another issue with Reed's character because when Reed finds out, he starts asking around like, well, what are the stipulations for getting kicked out of here? You know, like, he's obviously, it's obviously a vendetta because he's going after his daughter as opposed to, like, protecting the enclave.
Classic prosecutor Reed.
I mean, I can understand the dad side, but he was, I mean, they're fugitives now, so he should kind of understand a little.
That's what she said to him.
Yeah, it's like you know that we're all doing illegal things. Like, just being here, we're breaking the law.
Yeah, like, Wes should just be like, oh, let me look up your record. Wanted terrorist. What's worse? Run a jewelry store. Wanted terrorist for breaking convicts out of prison.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously.
Because, you know, you broke out Polaris. Then y'all actually beat some people up. So, you know, they probably compounded like 20, 30 charges on him. So, yeah, he's hating a little too hard. Now, of course, Wes is the teen dream.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the smile. He's got the hair. I don't know where they're doing hair. Maybe there's like someone cutting hair there or something like that.
It's a mutant power.
Yeah, it's a mutant power. So he's like, like the hair.
I think my biggest issue with the whole Wes Reed Lauren is that no one told Wes he's wanted by the Hound group, Hound organization. Yeah. And now he's on the outside of the place that they're at, and he's going to be I feel like that, I mean, yeah. it might be a setup for him being taken by them, but that's, why wouldn't they warn him?
Yeah.
They told him everything on his record, but that.
But that.
Well, that's
looking for you.
That's the thing that's kind of interesting is they have these records, and these are like the mutants that they want for the Hound program, mm-hmm. but I don't know if they're actually out there or not. So there's that side of the coin where they want him for the Hound program, but there's the other side of the coin where, is he already in the Hound program?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, is he just waiting to be activated? Like, the demonstration that Campbell gave to Jace was two normal people in jail, but then when they activate them, they turn into something else.
Yeah.
So, is Wes already initiated in the Hound program, and that's why they have his record with those files? And is it actually going to save them, the fact that they moved him to another camp, because he's already in it, and when they activate him, he's not there anymore.
That makes me nervous. I was thinking that, kind of to tie into your question, I don't know necessarily how normal the Hound people who are in the Hound program are. Are they their normal selves if they're not activated, or are they? I feel like they're zapped still. You know what I mean?
They're still just weird.
Yeah, so I don't know if Wes is that. I mean, he very well could be, and that would be really scary. But I'm not sure that they stay their normal selves.
But I do think that you're right. If we're gonna go along the trail of good writing, what this show has actually been doing, compared to a lot of other shows, is this is the last time we see Wes as not a Hound.
Yeah.
Because makes sense to have Lauren have a love interest that is now taken as a Hound.
Yeah.
True. And just, man, there's so much dirt inside that Hound program. And I mean, we'll get to Jace later, but that doctor needs to be stopped.
And
I won't say anything else.
We'll talk about the final scene towards the end, but did anyone else get Westworld feelings when they're walking through the warehouse of everyone just standing there like...
Yeah, now that you say that, that
I haven't seen Westworld.
It's...
At least in this, they had their clothes on, but yeah, it was very just kind of like... activate my evil army kind of feel. That's
very
kind of
creepy.
Yeah. Ivan Soto's yelling in the chat.
Well, and also, let's just quickly touch on the fact that when Lauren gives him that beautiful kiss scene, he was into it, and then as soon as they stopped touching lips, he had no face expression and just went straight into the car.
Well, that's because he had to be strong.
I would be so pissed.
He had to be strong on the inside.
You would not even like a wave, like a wink, you know?
Well, I mean,
Stephen White was like, I've done that a few times.
Well, when he was riding away in the van, we didn't get to see it, but he was looking in the side view mirror and he was like looking at her like.
I just thought that was weird.
And she looked at him like.
Well, it's like, it's kind of like too little too late though.
Ah, okay.
Because it's like she could have come to him beforehand. She could have like been with him in that, but no, she like ran away from him when she found out about his past. It wasn't like, hey, I'm with you whether or not this is who you are.
Yeah.
It was, oh, now that you admitted to everyone and my dad likes you, now I can like you again. So it's kind of like, yeah, she kissed him, but it's kind of like an underhanded thing of, oh, great. Yeah, you're kissing me now when I'm already leaving. Like,
yeah,
kind of a dick move there, Lauren.
I thought maybe he wouldn't leave.
Maybe he just gained a little bit of her powers to put a barrier around his
part. That would be really awesome.
Barrier. But, he has to move on because we know that he'll be back later, but he'll probably be in danger or something like that. Or, like you said, they'll probably pit them against each other.
So here's one of the things that we have to go over, though, too, is the weird thing was Kate being like, you need to talk to Lauren first. I was like, great idea is tell your daughter, because that's going to go over well.
Yeah.
It's like the dad telling the daughter he doesn't like the boyfriend. That goes over well all the time.
Well, that, and it's just, I think it would have made more sense to tell Wes that he knows.
Yeah.
And been like, you either tell everyone or you get out of here because I don't want you around my daughter if you're going to lie to everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to, like, go, we need to tell our daughter first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the West thing would work because he could have approached them kind of like man to man, like, hey, look, this is what I found out. Is it a situation where you were doing this to survive or were you doing this with ill intent? Because there's a difference. Like, you know, like they say, some people steal for sport, more steal to eat. So were you doing it to survive, just to get by? Or were you doing it because you're, you know, part of some criminal cartel or something like that, you know? And after he finds out what side of the, you know, the playing board he's on or whatever, then he can say, okay, cool. You know, I understand we've all had to do, like, I mean, he's had to break out of jail to survive. So, you know, it would have been nice to get that kind of man-to-man, even though we sort of got it, but I feel it was late in the game. But it would have been nice to see him just be like, hey, look, How did it play out? I want to hear it from you and then figure out how to approach Lauren. And be like, hey, we found this stuff out, but it might not be as bad as you think.
I liked this story. I mean, I liked the episode a lot still, but I did think this was one of the more weaker storylines that we've seen just because, like we said in the beginning, they're all criminals. So that they're all wanted. They've all done stuff for survival. So it was just kind of...
That's the thing, is like it's kind of to the point where... I mean, I get it because it's like a jewelry store, so obviously it's not...
A little different.
It's not the same as like robbing from a convenience store and stealing food or something like that. But it's also just kind of, you're in this house with tons of other people, and you have to be very careful about how you stir up gossip when everyone's forced to be around each other. And it just didn't make sense to me that he went to his daughter with this info before confronting Wes, because he's a prosecutor. Like, I feel like he would talk to the person in question first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I get the side of it that I get why he did it.
Yeah.
I'm not liking this whole continuously reverting back to like the world is okay, the system works thing.
Yeah.
The system obviously doesn't work. Like, whenever it comes to mutants, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And Reed, as much as you are attached to this idea of there needs to be some system, you have to realize that you've been putting mutants away into like Guantanamo Bay-like systems for the past years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if you didn't know, you knew that society in general was not treating mutants in the best light.
Yeah, and if you're an attorney, you know, to not know where people are going when you prosecuted them just seems a little bit...
And here's... I have a bone to pick with Ivan Soto real quick in the chat. Because Ivan Soto keeps yelling at us saying he also conned people and the underground is based on trust and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, Dreamer put a memory in Clarice's head that nobody else knows about. That's causing a huge rift in the underground that only three people know about.
True.
Meanwhile, Marcos is going and working for the cartel.
Yes.
And he likes it, too.
Meanwhile,
he likes it a little bit.
Meanwhile, Marcos used to work for the cartel and probably did much worse stuff than Wes did.
Because he was torturing people.
Only Polaris and only John know at the underground. Like, come on. The underground is built on trust. He's conning people. Get over it, God. Like, come on. Get over it. Everyone's got their secrets.
Everybody has a little dirt, and I think... In this situation, unfortunately, Wes fell to the kind of like, well, your dirt is dirtier than my dirt kind of thing.
Right.
Or like, your dirt, we don't like your dirt as much thing. And you know how, I mean, because all of them have done illegal things. Just not being in jail right now for all of them is illegal. So now they're kind of picking and choosing. You know, Wes caught, especially since he's throwing the Matt game down, he caught the short end of the stick. But I mean, he'll come out strong, maybe.
Just a heads up, this is behind the scenes stuff. Bree, can you check your phone for a text from Phil? Okay, so moving on. Da, 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 da. The West conclusion is that he goes away, and he has that nice little kiss. But I think, Steph, you're really smart about that prediction. I think that's definitely something that they're going to bring up later. Because I think the next episode we'll hear that that base got taken down, whatever one he got hooked to.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have the Lauren freak out in that
moment.
Let's talk about Marcos. So Marcos gets called. Sorry, Flashlight gets called.
Oh, boy.
Flashlight getting called in the middle of the night. Somebody needs that flashlight in the middle of the night.
I thought I told you never to call this number.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's kind of dumb that he's like, I just don't feel comfortable doing this. Like, you agreed to it.
Yeah.
Like, as much as, like, you don't feel comfortable, you agreed to it. Like, she didn't force you.
You agreed
to it. And to be fair, they could have just used the pins in Reed's knee, whether or not they actually. Oh wait, no, they couldn't have because they had
they had pulse
nearby that was turning the power off. So never mind. So Marcos's mission, she calls him and says, "Let's get rid of some of these drugs. We just got to blow up some drugs. We're not going to kill anybody, whatever." So he pulls out his little Reaper medallion because, like, he's got to be all Dia de los Muertos. Yeah. And cool,
it's kind of like when Sylvester Stallone puts his hat backwards. Oh, sorry, it's over the top. It's this old movie. It's classic, but. Yeah, it's Sylvester Stallone puts his hat to the back. It's all business.
Are you talking about Pokemon?
You know what? It's very similar. Yeah.
Tell me where they got it.
I know, right?
I just think why for one favor? I guess because you're messing with the cartel. He just owes indefinite favors.
I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, because I think she's trying to drag it out for more than it's worth.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, all right, maybe like 3 or 4 favors. And she's kind of like, no, I own you forever.
She thinks it's a partnership. Yeah.
Yeah. She's trying to ride this out.
Yeah. I just have a feeling like you don't mess with him. Because, I mean, we see in this episode his fury that he's taking out on those drugs. Like, he could very easily just burn her to a cinder and just, like, walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He could take down the cartel to a certain degree if he wanted to.
Well, they have other mutants working for them, or at least one that we know of.
And that's what I was going to get at. Sorry.
No,
not to interrupt you. But I think right now we're totally on this whole path of, like, yeah, they're using him as a mutant, and they have this other mutant that can slow down time and slow down stuff like that and, like, stop people. And I'm like, okay, great. But what happens when these other cartels you're against bring out their mutants?
Yeah.
Everyone's just like, yeah, we're the only ones with mutants. Like, no, you're probably not. And I feel like Marcos is in a lot of danger for the next favor that we hit.
Yeah.
I think next episode sure.
Yeah, because this one was way too sly and quick and under the radar.
Blowing up boxes.
You're right. If this cartel is using them, there's other cartels that are definitely using them, or gangs or whoever. And I like how it adds another layer to the craziness of this world, because you have Hound using mutants. You have cartels using mutants. You really have this crazy world where, you know, mutant powers are being almost used. Commoditized.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now that, with the fact that we know Marcos definitely liked it a little bit, because on his face he was like,
yeah.
He was like, I still got it. But I wonder if this is going to change him. Because, you know, Polaris is kind of pulling away from him. And, of course, I can't think of the cartel lady's
name.
Like, Carmen. Carmen definitely wants him. She's trying to front like she don't want him. She wants him. But, so I wonder if this might sway him to the dark side.
Maybe. I was thinking that, I think it was Steven, we were all kind of talking about how people are going to have alliances. And so I think we're seeing now the mutants are with the cartel and the government is working with the doctors now. So we have those alliances. But to the point you were saying with Marcos, I think that we're going to continue to see more character development with him, which we did today with last episode. I don't think it's going to change him, but I do think that what Carmen was saying, that Polaris is the only thing he actually believes in. So, like, he does care about the underground, but it's not really as much
it's
as
in
it
relation
is
to
more Polaris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if it will change him, but it's definitely going to continue to cause controversy.
Well, to go to that point, we do get a flashback of John and Polaris meeting him for the first time.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting because that's back when he was still with Carmen.
Yeah.
And Polaris is pulling a Carmen there, being like,
oh, Polaris threw a little game at him.
She's not the only strong woman.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And you saw, he's like,
yeah.
He like, yeah, I see you, girl.
He's like, wait, you have powers? What? You can make Aurora Borealis? What?
You stir that coffee? He's like, yeah, girl, stir that coffee.
I'm going to just give that a moment of silence.
Yo, that's the Marcos game.
Rest in peace, that comment.
Hashtag stir that coffee.
So he goes to the Polaris finds out because she calls the place he was supposed to be getting supplies from. Oh, he'd be getting supplies somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we don't have any supplies.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
dirt broke and we don't have anything. We haven't heard from anyone on your team. And then she looks in the room and finds that his Reaper medallion is gone. So he'd be going and doing Death Blossom somewhere else, Overwatch joke, and then she decides to go to the mansion, visits the mansion with Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and she knew exactly where it was too. She was like, "Oh, I know exactly where."
So this is my
favorite scene of the.
Oh, yeah. This is the dream team of Polarity Pancakes, because it's Polaris and Syrup, which I've been calling Dreamer. And again, I think the actress is doing a wonderful job with the character, and it is that just who the character is, but it is just like Syrup coming on screen. Like, it's just very, like, wispy and...
Wispy.
Yeah, I just want to yawn.
But I love them together, though.
Yeah.
But they're dangerous together. It's almost like...
Oh, yeah.
They're like the two kids in the class, like, y'all can't sit together.
Yeah, Dreamer brings out the worst in Polaris.
Yeah. They definitely get separated on team captains.
So they walk up to the gate. The guard's like, ooh, hey, mama. How you doing?
Yeah.
Come here. And then suddenly they have one knocked out and the gun around, the other one's next choking him to...
Yo, I Polaris throws part. People so well. He's like, hey, girl, how's it going?
Yes.
If only there was a band for him to go into, that would have been better. Like, but she threw him straight into the woods or the shrubs or whatever. Never to be seen again.
Do you feel like her powers have gotten exponentially stronger since the first episode? Because she gets taken down pretty easy in the first episode.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's like, oh, you got 20 people with guns.
Well, I think it's because, remember, Marcos got shot, so maybe she wasn't on her game. But now, you know, she's clear. So now since she's clear, she's coming in there. Stopping bullets and throwing people in the bushes and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, she's at the top of her game right now. You can't stop Polaris.
My mutant power is throwing people in bushes. I'm useless when there's no bushes around.
Say, does anyone have a van? All right, cool, I can do that.
Does anyone have perhaps a small plant? A fern, maybe?
Just
carrying around plants. I gotta throw people into these.
Hold on, let me put this down real quick.
Dreamer uses her power on the guy, and they find out where they all went to take on the drug cartel. And of course, what was weird to me in one scene was the fact that they're loading all these drugs, they have all these people around, but they don't notice the super conspicuous, like, three big black SUVs waiting outside the compound.
There should be a lookout. Yeah. There really should be a lookout.
Where's the lookout for this gigantic drug deal?
You're cartelling wrong.
Right? Yeah.
Agreed.
You're really cartelling wrong, because it's like, they're right there.
They're not even hiding.
They were like around the block.
It's daylight.
They weren't even that far away, and she has binoculars. She's like, all right, cool. Right there.
So Polaris decides to show up at the worst possible time with Dreamer, just in time to see Carmen. Basically, I think Marcos is in, like, this post, like, getting it off his chest, like, getting their anger out, kind of, like, tired, and, like, I hate to use, like...
Like, finally I was ready to let loose or something, like, thing, or is it more of a, like, tired situation?
It's like that feeling you get when you just leave, like, an hour massage, like, you're just kind of, like, dazed,
like,
and kind of, like, and, like, you had the release, and now she's, like, he's just, like, kind of not even there, and she's, like, taking advantage of that to, like, kiss him on the cheek, and Polaris sees that at the worst time.
I was, like, cringing at that time for Polaris.
That's, like, a very classic TV writer trope.
Yeah, the kiss.
It's weird, I guess, the confidence that Carmen has, because, you know... That we know of, Carmen has no powers, and Polaris has a lot of powers.
We don't know that.
That's true. She might have powers, and we just don't know. But she really just flaunts it all up in Polaris' face, like, I don't care about Magnet Girl and stuff. And it's like, wow, like, can you back those words up?
What do you think about the new mutant we get introduced to with the powers of, like, slowing down everything going on?
I thought that was pretty cool.
I just don't know why he has gills.
Yeah, I was kind of confused on that as well. Like,
because usually the types of markings or whatever it is has to do with the power, right?
Oh, okay.
Well, it's like you think sometimes, but this show hasn't really been going with that too well.
Yeah,
because you look
I guess.
At Clarice and you're like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. She has green eyes because she opens portals. But then you're like, why does that really make sense?
No, I didn't. Yeah, that she
it's
was
just like,
the
that's
one
what Blink
I didn't
looks
get.
Like.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay.
I think we're going too much on the fact that, like, Toad acts like a frog, and, like, people, like, Blowfish or whatever has, like, the pins and stuff, or, like, Porcupine kind of stuff.
So that, his power is very useful. Because I was like, you guys are going to kill them when you said he wasn't going to kill anyone, and then he didn't.
So that was, that works, and who knows how powerful he can be and if he'll be used against Marcos later on. But I like to see this door opening of society viewing and using and even manipulating mutants in a different way. I mean, it's bad for mutants, but it's good for TV.
True.
I think it'd be cool to have Marcos versus that guy in some kind of showdown, because he slows down everything, but can he slow down something that's the speed of light? Like, that's kind of a cool thing. Like, perhaps Marcos is like the anti power to him.
Yeah.
So moving on, Marcos goes back to the compound. Polaris is rightfully pissed off at him. He's still playing up his cover, but she's like, "Your Reaper thing was." He like pulls it out of his shirt. It's like, "Hey," and he's like, "It's not like that." And she's like, "Well, you didn't tell me." He's like, "I didn't tell anyone."
Yeah, he was being really dumb about it.
He definitely should have told her. Let me give you a little relationship advice. All right. All right. Say you have a girlfriend. She's pregnant. Your fugitive's on the run. And your ex-girlfriend, who's super, super powerful, right, helps you get her out of jail.
Common story.
Common story. Happens to everybody. All right. If you owe her a debt at all, the first thing you should do is tell your girlfriend, which also has powers, who could kill you definitely in your sleep, because I think Polaris would kill somebody in their sleep. You need to tell her, "Honey, I'm glad you're out of jail, but I had to make a deal to get you out of jail. It's not my favorite deal, but this is the only hand I had to play." She might be like, "You know what? I'm mad, but I might be able to deal with this."
But here's the thing, is like at the end of the episode, you see him sleeping next to her again. So obviously they're still not completely split.
Oh, no, yeah. I think they're like essentially soulmates in terms of their powers and everything that they've gone through. So I don't think that would split them, but I think it's a huge trust issue.
Yeah. And she's...
Rightfully so.
Her and Carmen are definitely going to butt heads later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Girl sure. Fight. Can't wait for the showdown between those two.
Hashtag feminism.
He gets called again at the end, and he's got to do another mission for Carmen.
Yeah.
He is her bitch.
Yeah.
Basically.
Totally.
Moving on to tell you guys about iTunes. iTunes is a great little app you can use. It's on most computers. And it also has a place where you can go to the store and like download things you want. Ooh. One of those things you can download there is a podcast. So a podcast is like an audio file that you listen to. Yes. So basically everything you're hearing now on YouTube, you can listen to on iTunes on something called an iPhone or an iPod.
Wow.
Yeah, blown away. But the fun fact is if you go to iTunes and type in The Gifted, we're the podcast right there. And what? You can hit that subscribe button to get the show every week as soon as we publish it. And you can also say, "Hey, I like these guys a lot." Great. There's a cool little place where you can put 5 stars and your own review that attaches your name to it. And you will get a shout out on the show if you do that. Nice. Everybody likes shout outs.
Yeah.
We didn't get any of them last week, which is really disappointing because I was just in such a mood to shout out people.
I was just ready to shout,
let it all out. On the mountain. I was going to go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it on
the mountain. I was going to have the high ground, Anakin.
Oh, man.
She was ready for that.
Oh, boy.
And our engineer says, "Who still uses iPods?" Well, I'll tell you what. Our amazing listeners still use iPods.
Yeah,
because they're all around the world. Don't speak the language, but the X-Men don't need explaining.
Oh,
well, actually, it does, because that's why we do this show. But please do that. Also, hit that thumbs up button on the YouTube, and make sure that after the broadcast is over, you're leaving comments. You're leaving comments whenever, so we can reply to them. We still get comments on like last week's and weeks ago's episodes. Luckily, we look at those too.
Yeah.
You know, we get some pretty nice compliments from time to time, which is really, really
and some
enjoyable.
Some great theories. You guys have some great theories that you drop in the comments.
True.
So thank you for that.
Apparently, I gave Ursine Comic Geek a shout out, but Steven mispronounced my name. Well, great. I don't know what to do better. Tell me.
Can you phonetically spell
it
out?
Yeah, spell
it
phonetically. And Peggy says, "Sexy dating for adult chicks. Check out my profile for link." How about I'm going to ban you from being in the chat role? Cool.
And it's Peggy, too.
Peggy, I'm just in a shout-out type of mood. Peggy, block.
Like, it's the one of the sexiest names. See, I'm about to get in trouble.
Yeah,
I'm
just sure, shut it down.
There's 40 Peggy's right now. Like, what?
You got Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy.
Our systems detect that a host has wandered off the subject. Please return at once.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our systems detect
you can turn it off now. We're here. So, Clarice and John decides, hey, maybe that person who can make portals is a little bit important to us, so let's go find her.
Yes.
We find her making a can of soup and burning her hand on it, which is, you know, as you find most portal makers.
Completely.
Yeah. That was Dreamer doesn't think that she's important, though.
The cake is a lie.
Yeah, she... Oh, yeah. Blink is important, and that whole plot line was my favorite of
Yeah, Dreamer's
episode.
Getting thirsty again.
Yeah.
And she's just being terrified that, like, Clarice is going to take her away.
And she's
take
not
John
being a good
her.
Leader because the leaders of the underground should be doing what's the best for the overall. And if you're going to let your romance stop you from having a portal person in your group, you're doing things wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, look, leadership first. All right.
We don't need her. Second. We don't need her. We can do this. We can do this. Yeah. Like,
no.
Sorry. There's somebody who can teleport us places. Like, get out of here. Yeah. Like,
that's super helpful.
You know, who do you want more? The person who can just put memories in other people's heads and create love triangles, the power to create love triangles, or the power to teleport people miles away?
Yeah, it's like,
and leave scenes instantly.
Yeah. It's like, look, Dreamer, here are the most important people. All right, you got John, because he's the leader, and he knows how to track people. He can find things.
It's useful.
He can,
super strength.
And he can also use, like, memories and super strength. Also, Polaris, because of the whole
Magneto thing. She's cool.
Everything.
She's killing it. And then, I know you guys in the chat know, Data Girl. The girl that knows all the data, can look at all the data. She's super important, all right? And Blink, she's super important. Everyone else is kind of important.
For now, yeah.
So Sage was really cool in this. We didn't talk about Sage, but yeah, like the whole Data Girl is Sage. Sorry. And her eyes moving back and forth was a cool, effect. Yeah, but, you know, if you want the power to create love triangles, you know, that's more of a power for a show on Freeform. But this is Fox, so we're going to stick with Clarice
here. So we're
team
Blink.
We're going to take Blink over Dreamer. We'll take Blink for 500, please, Alex Trebek.
Her acting was so good.
She's so good.
She's so good, and that whole orphanage scene was really sad and real, and it made you feel like... You know, when she was like, I do have something to fight for, and this is what my fight is, I was like, yes.
This
is no, but
they had
yes.
a real moment. They had a real moment together.
A real romantic moment.
Yeah. Sparks fly.
But you know what was weird is that she's like, I don't know what that road is. I don't know what that road is. But, like, you know, the whole orphanage was a big part of her life. You'd think that she'd kind of naturally remember that, but maybe something screwed, maybe activating her powers screwed up her.
Yeah.
I don't know. They find the road because John says, well, think of places that, you know, maybe it's somewhere that you think is safe, because animalistic instincts are run away to somewhere that's safe if they're in danger.
That was cool.
So they find the house, and it was an orphanage for mutants, for parents who gave them up. And then John uses his tracking powers to see that there's tons of boot prints, and then there's tape on the door, and big pools of blood. Does not bode well for the parents of the
Sentinel
orphanage.
Sentinel services are savages.
Yo.
Alliteration.
They're
love
doing
it.
They're definitely doing a lot of type of covert black bag operations that, you know, we find out later that Sentinel services isn't particularly like a government agency. They're not like the DMV or, you know, it's not like, you know, they're not, they don't have like rules and regulations and stuff.
I just want like everyone to like mark this, that he just compared Sentinel services to the DMV.
Sometimes the evil nature can align. I'm just saying, guys. So be real. If you've been to the DMV in the last couple years, you know
that's all.
It can be tough.
They have the mutant power of bureaucracy. Hermes from Futurama.
Wrong form.
So we do get the scenes, and it is really sad with Clarice and John there, because he basically confirms that they died protecting the other kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But this was really important because, as Clarice says in the beginning, like, you're working for the underground. This is you. This is your fight. And then we have this storyline that doesn't take six episodes.
Yes.
We have one episode focused on Clarice saying, this is her backstory. This is this. This is who she comes from. Now, why does she care about the fight against Sentinel Services? Because of this.
It's directly affecting her now.
And this show is, that's one
more,
thing that
I
makes
mean,
this,
it has been, but.
Yeah. Like, this one, this is the thing that makes the show great. They deal with things expeditiously. Like, they don't hold this on for, like, it's not like next season and we're finally getting to see Blink's backstory. No, we dealt with that. We dealt with Wes. We dealt with Polaris and Eclipse. We dealt, like, there's so many things that we dealt with, like, just quickly.
Yeah. But you realize that they're doing this, they're building a really solid foundation for seasons to come, because instead of using whole episodes to focus on backstories, we're tying their backstories in with current episodes and current events. So, like, Caliris has the orphanage. We have Lauren and Andy have their school thing. But now with Wes, Lauren may have a reason to be more anti-Sentinel Services coming up in the future. Marcos, we get a few flashbacks, but mostly it's he's working with the cartel now, and we can see the disposition of him with that. John, you know that him and Dream are in this weird place, but you also have his military background that you don't really have to focus too much on because it's self-explanatory with his best friend Pulse being taken down by Sentinel Services. And then you also hear about his father being in the X-Men. You take Shatter. Shatter, we haven't learned too much about yet, but I'm sure we will. Yeah. The whole thing behind him is that he tried to kill himself because he had power. He put a bullet in his head, and that's what the Shatter thing is from. And there's an interview out there with the actor who plays Shatter, and he was a huge comic book geek before the show. And the audition, it was super under wraps. He didn't know what role he was auditioning for. He didn't know what show it was. And then he was like, oh, yeah, you're this character. And he immediately went out and bought a baseball bat. And was just walking around with a baseball bat for, like, weeks to come because that's, like, the comic book character's
cool.
thing.
Oh,
he's the most closely cast of the character from the comics.
That's
it's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Reed and Kate, I feel like the reason they're still sticking to the suburban lifestyle kind of opinions is because that is their background. And if you have no character that's thinking that way, then the audience can very easily get sucked into this whirlpool of there's not a world outside of the underground.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
while it is annoying, I see the reason that they keep like bringing you back to the fact that you are still in the world where
and
people believe in the laws.
The little school stuff was kind of nice. You know, you had the younger kids.
I would be pissed if I had homework, though.
And they didn't overspend time on that either.
Yeah.
We got like 2 minutes, and then they moved on.
Yeah.
You know, that was great.
But what you were saying, just the pairing of the characters seems really thought out, and the characters are just perfect for the show. Like how Clarice and John kind of have like this love story. The fact that he's a tracker and she's the portal maker, like he's obviously can find her if she goes runs away, which I wasn't thinking about. I was like, she's not going to be away forever, but he finds her, and that's the only person that can. So I love how they all go together.
Luckily, he's a good guy and not just a stalker.
Yeah. Yes, that could be really creepy.
That would be weird.
So, and then to finalize my thought is we also have Jace.
Oh, yeah.
So let's move ahead to Jace, because Jace is also a character where we get a storyline that intersects with a lot of the mutant storylines and kind of provides him reasons for everything he's doing. Because before, it was 5 years in the past, his daughter was killed by mutants, and he was kind of on the verge of using all of his resources at their expense. But now that his daughter has died again freshly in his mind, he's going a little bit more to the post PTSD kind of feeling of like really diving in on like hurting them.
Like all means necessary.
So he is using Dr. Campbell. We get introduced to the head of the DOJ, Department of Justice. And this woman is still views mutants as American citizens, which is really interesting because we see that people in the higher up positions still are in the gray of like mutants are humans. We need to treat them like guns, but at the same time they're not illegal. Like they're still American citizens. And because Dr. Campbell's in the office, Jace stands up to her. But then when they're meeting with everybody, we have the Hound that's been with Jace that I thought was the power of concealment, but no, it's the power to
stroke you out.
So I guess
he's a bloodbender.
Your organs or whatever. Yeah,
he's a bloodbender. It kind of seems like if you guys
that
ever watched Avatar,
very creepy, graphic and creepy.
Yeah.
And well also, done, but creepy.
Yeah, and also the fact that Jace was kind of like sitting there watching it happen. It made me think about the prediction that you had, like what episode two or whatever, where you're like, yeah, I think he's going to go with them for a little bit and then be like, you know what? I can't go any further, and then flip to the other side.
He made me... I was enraged. That whole scene, first off, it was kind of blame that the DOJ is just getting in on this. You know, like they just wanted to surveillance
everyone. Well, he doesn't
care
about court orders.
Yeah, but that he was just standing by. He knew it was happening. Just like he's taking it way too far.
Well, he didn't realize till later that it was the mutant doing it.
Yeah, I guess that was just like the filming, the angles and stuff made me think that he saw him.
But now he's pushed a little bit further away from the doctor, and he's realizing that he's started something that he might not be able to stop.
Yeah.
Because now that the DOJ is taken out, it's, yeah, but that'll take a few weeks, and by then we'll already have the Strucker children.
And now the doctor
Campbell
can do
doesn't
that.
Give a, Dr. Campbell doesn't give a crap about Jace or anything. He just wants the children, and then he's outie. So this is like the beginnings of Jace kind of having regrets as to what he's kind of started.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a moment between him choosing, between saving a mutant and the doctor getting them. I think he may prevent the doctor
like
from getting the kids.
Like finale time or something like that, maybe?
This show's moving pretty fast. We're on episode 7. We have 6 more, I think. So I think between now and then, we may see Jace make a big turn. Still be neutral, like still be like not know what he's doing, but still not want the children to end up in the doctor's hands.
Because he's seeing a lot of stuff. You can see on his face where he's like, you know, that idea when you're like, hey guys, I think we're going too far.
Yeah.
that was creepy. The scene was terrifying, though, because they did the whole half of her body thing, too, where, like, you notice while she's, like, squirming, half her face is just drooping. Like, serious stroke-level stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I saved someone, and you got the warrants or whatever you wanted. It's like, yeah, but you made this happen.
And then he was like, they're going to call someone else. He's like, well, we have a few weeks. I'm like, so you know exactly what's going to happen. And
because
just
he's probably done this before.
Yeah. So I do want to point out that earlier in the episode, we get a big reveal that for 30 years, Reed's father worked with Trask Industries.
Yeah.
And Trask Industries is very related to Dr. Campbell.
Yes.
And Reed's father is still alive, which is the grandfather that we were talking about before that Sharon Glass is married to. Mm-hmm. So,
and now this could be, I mean, like, change the story of Reed, because we didn't really know if maybe they carried the X gene or, you know. So, because they were saying that program does a lot of gene suppression, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if, like, maybe he's practiced on Reed, suppressed his genes.
It opens
a whole can of worms.
Yeah, he might have prevented his son from being a mutant.
Yeah.
Or maybe Reed was a mutant and he took away his powers or something like that.
Yeah.
We don't know, but we learn that he worked for Trask for a very long time, and Trask is one of the development places for all these anti-mutant technologies. So everyone at the Underground was quite alarmed that Reed was related to the person who basically founded the Hound program.
Yeah, because it's like, now not only, all right, you're a prosecutor and you work for Sentinel Service. We kind of let that go. We dealt with that. We're not happy about it, but you're here and we're kind of dealing with it. Now your dad worked at Trask for 30 years? We need to have a house meeting.
Yeah.
House meeting.
Let's put aside the fact that Wes robbed a jewelry store.
Yeah.
Your dad worked at Trask for 30 years.
And I mean, well, now at the same time, did your dad work at Trask and he was just like filing papers, or was he like the guy? Which I'm pretty sure he was the guy, you know, like working there, like, you know, experimenting on people or making technologies or working on Sentinels, making the Rolly things, or who knows.
Yeah.
So it's
a lot of people in the chat think that he's a Von Strucker, which is a comic book reference. So the Strucker last name is one of the big tie-ins from this show to the comics. Obviously, the Struckers have always been
known to
not
be
really be the good guys. Yeah. And people have been prefacing this since the series began.
Yeah.
Okay, there's definitely a reason they use the Strucker last name. And in the books, there is twins that are Struckers that are the kids. So a lot of this kind of stuff is loosely taken.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are asking, like, various questions of, like, do you think they're going to bring in this? Do you think they're going to bring in this? Do you think this character is this? Do you think this character is this? It's like, the show is being very careful not to dive into canon.
Yeah.
Which I think is really smart. Because
a good job of kind of, like, using canon without directly tying itself to a person or a thing.
They're not directly saying this is Earth 661 or whatever. Yeah. They're not
616.
Yeah, 616. They're not saying that, which is good because this is its own thing And I like that they're loosely basing because that allows them to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the best way to use Wolverine in the show would be to use it as more of a reference and not a character.
Oh, like a memory.
Yeah, like Trask like Industries.
When Wolverine was around or when Wolverine did this.
Like if we do a flashback, if we meet the grandfather, the father, and he does a flashback to Trask Industries and talks about how things changed and just it shows like a flashback of a lab just torn apart with like the claw marks everywhere. Yeah. Kind of like, because I think that would bring people in like more like the X-Men exist in this universe. I think what we're missing right now is, okay, we've gotten name drops, the X-Men, as I started last week's show with, but who are the X-Men and what mutants are the X-Men in this universe?
Yeah, because are we dealing with, for the classic X-Men people, are we talking about the blue team or the gold team?
Yeah, so that's what I want to know, is I want to know who are the mutants who are part of the X-Men in this universe so we can start putting some red lines together on who could be out there.
Yeah.
Like, is Xavier in this universe? Is Storm in this universe? Is Cyclops in this universe? Yeah. Like, who's... Like, of course, John's father. Or, like, like, so I think we're getting on episode 8 next week. I think we're going to start seeing that. Again, I still think that there's an imminent attack on the underground coming.
Yeah. Totally.
It didn't happen this week.
Yeah.
But this week was a good episode because it focused on a lot of other stuff that we need to get out of the way.
We already know they're working on moles. So we don't know. There could be, like, 4 or 5 moles in the, you know, in the, I guess, the... hideout. I'll just say hideout right now.
And now, we have the introduction of Reed's father. And so, is he we know he's alive. Is he going to come back? Is he working with them? You know?
Yeah. So, we'll see. We're out of time today, guys. So, please hit that thumbs up button. Leave us a comment after this broadcast server. Go to iTunes. Leave us 5 stars. Leave us a comment. Go watch the trailer for Incredibles 2 because that came out yesterday.
Yes!
And that's our show. Where can we find you guys in the meanwhile?
I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
And you can find me at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, S-T-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-E-U-X. We will see you guys next week for The Gifted, Season 1, Episode 8. Tune in then. Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Go watch The Punisher. It's so good.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.